Hello and welcome to the Tech Unplug podcast. I'm your host, Max Montilaro. I'm joined as usual by our co-host, Arjan Timmerman. Hello, Arjan.
Hello, Max.
Thank you. Thank you, Arjan. And we're joined by Scott Shadley from NGD Systems. Hello, Scott.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's nice to have a chance to talk with you.
It's great to have you.
Yes, absolutely. So, Scott, we met a couple of weeks ago during Storage Field Day 17 already.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. So I was one of the guys at Storage Field Day 1, where a lot of information was placed. I think it was 2012, something like that. We can figure that out later. But yeah, Storage Field Day 17, there was NGD Systems, and they were talking about computational storage. And we did a paper on that from Tech Unplugged, and one of the sentences really moved you, I know. So I wanted to talk a little about that. It was computational storage promises to transform the storage industry as we've known it until now. And that really moved you. Why?
Absolutely. So for me personally, I mean, stand alone the fact that I work at NGD today, I've been in the storage market and doing storage products since 2007, so just over a decade. I was lucky to participate in a company that kind of created the enterprise SSD market. If you think back to the Dell EMC launch of the STEC drive, where it was a 73 gigabyte fiber channel drive, and that revolutionized the market at that time. And so anytime I have the opportunity to participate or see something that I work on have such an impact on things, it just makes myself personally happy to know that I've left somewhat of a mark in the world, and knowing that the companies I've worked for have done something to make other people's lives better. So that was it. That was a perfect synthesis of the term, as this technology has been around for a while now and just starting to really come into market very similar to the way the SSD market did. So as it starts to, you know, become a new thing and actually be, you know, more mainstream adoptable, it just makes it more exciting because then it gets to be more involved with customers and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned you were at other customers or other vendors in the industry before you got into computational storage, NGD Systems. Can you tell a little bit more about the companies you worked at and what they were doing in the storage industry?
Absolutely. So dating myself a little bit, I graduated with a device physics degree. So I used to work actually at Micron as my first part of my career, where I actually designed the NOR NAND devices that have later evolved into what we know today as 3D NAND and whatnot. I took a stint or a break from Micron in 2007 to 2011 to go work for STEC and do the work there around enterprise SSDs, and then joined Micron again in 2011 and spent the last 7 years driving the SATA SSD market for the Micron storage products. So I've been in touch with semiconductors, flash, and storage for just over 20 something years now. So it's been a fun ride and a great opportunity to see things go from 90 nanometer wide gates on a NOR device to 3D NAND gates that are storing 4 bits per cell. And then what those chips, if you will, have been able to turn into in the way of actual storage products and make a difference in the market.
And yeah, we've seen that happen also, right? And I know for a fact that Max is really into that kind of stuff and HPC and that kind of thing. So Max, you've got any questions?
Well, I did have a lot of questions. I have to say, I tried to answer myself when writing the paper, but still, you know, the paper covers the let's say the market as a whole. What I'd be interested in too is kind of trying to understand, Scott, what's your own take on the revolution that computational storage is going to be. I hope I'm not skipping too fast in the discussion already, but I'd really like to get your thoughts on this.
Oh, no. And I think the trick that we're seeing, or the change that we're seeing, the transformation that's starting to take place, is for the last, you know, 2+ decades, if not longer, since I've been in storage only that long, and there's been hard drives since, you know, they were the size of a plane hanger, that the people have always treated storage as a place to put a bit of data and eventually pull it back off. And everything around us is becoming much more, I want it now, instant response. You know, we're all having this need to have data at our fingertips. And if we continue to treat storage in whatever iteration it may be, whether it be spinning media, flash drives, NVMe drives, you name it, we're not doing ourselves a service, because we're still looking at the architectures that existed all the way back into the 60s and things like that with the original computers. This transformation into computational storage, and as you mentioned, there's multiple different paths to what people are classifying as computational storage, means bringing that compute to where the data is. That means, we call it at NGD in-situ processing, because I'm actually moving a processor closer to the bits of data instead of having to always move the bits of data closer to a processor. So anytime you do that, you eliminate bandwidth and you improve the capability to get the answer you're looking for. And that's why it's so exciting and transformational.
And I've got to say, so what I first heard about computational storage, I was, you know, trying to grasp the concept of it. I was trying to read about what your company is doing, you know, in the preparation for Storage Field Day 17. But when you guys started presenting this, and then when you showed us the devices, the prototypes, or the actual devices that you're having, I was absolutely completely blown away, you know. And one of the things, I had planned to start writing on that, and then I had the opportunity to go to the Computer History Museum in Santa Clara. And one thing struck my mind. I was telling myself, these huge computers, these mainframes, like you were saying. So you're looking at this all this history of computing, and you see that these architectures are more or less the same since modern, let's say, computers have been created. And I'm talking around the 40s, the 50s. You know, you're looking at this big IBM System 360, which is something I absolutely love. And I was like, wow, that thing is pretty much the computer we are using, the servers. It's more or less the same thing. I mean, yeah, okay, you move from core memory to let's say microchips, you know, microtransistors, etc. But the concept is the same, and that's why I think that computational storage is so transformational.
Absolutely, and it's funny because when we so I've been with NGD since the beginning of the year. The company's been working at this for 5 years. There's been other companies in the market for 3 to 5 years as well. A couple you called out in your report, for example. That we were calling it all kinds of different things. We were calling it intelligent storage. We were calling it smart SSDs. If you think about all the different ways you can call it, you know, even vendors like Samsung at one point called it an intelligent storage product. The reason that computational storage is sort of new to the market is because we just kind of decided we needed a term and a technology that people can latch onto and drive as a market segment and as a technology leadership position. Doesn't roll off the tongue, but it encompasses more of the capabilities of what these devices can do from the various vendors than just calling it a smart drive or an intelligent SSD. So there's actually now work being done within some of the standards bodies in the US that are in the storage space, a la SNEA, Storage Networking Association, to actually define a baseline for it to help customers be able to better articulate, understand, and implement these solutions moving forward. So that's one of the reasons why computational storage is a mouthful, but it still at the same time is fairly new to the market as far as a general term.
Okay. So thinking about it and when you're talking about it, there's something that comes into, is there some sort of industry consortium around this? Are you talking with the others that are doing computational storage? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. So until now, everybody's just been kind of in the market, and you know, we've heard compute the data, intelligent, all these other terms. Computational storage is actually being driven to a baseline standardized definition, if you will, or at least that's the attempt of the group. It's driven through a group called SNEA that's actually an industry organization based out of Colorado Springs. I'm actually in Colorado Springs today for a meeting tomorrow that's going to help write the charter of what this product technology can be. It can be anywhere from what I sell today, which is a holistic drive that has compute capability, to what some of the competitive products are that have other forms of compute inside of a drive, all the way out to potentially accelerators in the storage plane. And the trick is now trying to define how wide scope it becomes and how finite it becomes. And that's going to be the topic of conversation for an entire day meeting tomorrow.
So one thing, Scott, I had the chance to be at the SNEA headquarters in Colorado Springs maybe last year. You said that some baselines are being established, and when we did our study, we didn't find much companies in this market segment yet. So we found NGD Systems, of course. We found another of your competitors. I'm going to mention them here, Scaleflux. We, to some extent, OpenIO is doing something similar with their SDS offering, their software-defined storage. Are there any other companies in the market? And is there a kind of common denominator yet which has been found for computational storage? So you say the baseline is being worked on, but is there anything kind of clearly defined yet, or is it still a broad topic for discussion?
Unfortunately, as we stand today, it's still somewhat of a broad topic. We've been talking as a group of companies. The primary third company that's been involved in driving this is called Eidetacom out of Canada. A gentleman by the name of Stephen Bates is driving that initiative from his company's perspective. And the three of us, so Scaleflux, Eidetacom, and NGD got together and said, you know what, we're all doing a similar technology. Our market segments and our target customers are different, so we're not direct competitors in that respect. I mean, there are opportunities for overlap, of course, as there always will be. But at the same time, it allowed us to get together and say, let's look at doing something that allows a market to be driven and not have people be confused. And so that's where we got this idea of computational storage. We kicked it off May-ish of this year. And the first real sit-down session, we weren't sure what it was going to happen. And it was at the Flash Memory Summit show in the US in August. We had a 7 a.m. session where we put it together just word of mouth, and we called it a birds of a feather on computational storage. We had 56 people show up to the conference room at 7 a.m. midweek of a trade show, and they drank 9.5 pots of my coffee in doing so. And that proved to us that it was worth kicking off. And then as part of that session, that's where we kind of aligned that SNEA would help drive it, because they have a great platform to get to a charter. But the beauty of something like SNEA is they don't define the charter, they let the members do that. And so that's what this follow-up meeting is in Colorado. We did a meeting 2 weeks ago at a SNEA event called Storage Developers Conference. We had another Birds of a Feather. That one was at 7 p.m. So we're liking the sevens for some reason. And that one had just over 85 people in the room. We had about 26 companies represented that I was able to track down from that session, because we didn't take roll call. But we had other controller vendors like Microsemi and Marvell. We had end customers like Microsoft and Amazon. We had companies like Netflix were there, HP, Dell, WD, all these different companies that were at least trying to understand what this technology was and what we're going to do with it. And hopefully after this session, and once this is, you know, this recording goes live, we'll be able to link over to it or something, and there'll be a charter in place to help customers give further feedback on what the net definition of this technology is.
So from that perspective, what what do you already have a product? Is the product already in the field? And what are the customers you're aiming for at this moment? Is there a company which you could name or which you could tell us a little bit more about that's really into the computational storage industry and really looking for this kind of solution?
Absolutely. And from that perspective, with all good new technologies like this, you're going to end up finding the customers that are first to go for it, or the ones that have the most nimble architectures. So for NGD Systems, we have been able to publicly state that Microsoft Research is doing a project to develop a new way to use our technology in their platforms, which could end up in things like Azure and Bing. So they're not, I wouldn't classify them as a revenue generating customer, but they're a partner that that has been very active in developing a, based on a use case they have today, a new way of doing business. We do have other customers that haven't, you know, we're not quote unquote publicly naming, that have been buying and implementing the drives for other use in different types of workloads. Our particular solution is targeted at analytics because we store data first and then we do the analysis on that data, because our product is sold as an NVMe storage target. To be open and to be fair to my friends in the market, ScaleFlux does things differently. They're not an NVMe drive. They're a host-based open channel-like drive. And they also do have customers that have done POCs, as well as they have publicly announced some end customers that are implementing their solutions. So we've both got product in the market. Eidetacom's been doing a lot of work around what he calls his no-load drive, which is a DRAM accelerator drive on an NVMe bus. And he's got a bunch of unique projects that are available on his site as well. And that's why, again, three of us are doing very similar things in slightly different models and still delivering what we classify together as a computational storage element or computational storage device.
Okay.
That's a long-winded answer. Sorry.
No problem at all. We've talked and see you present at Storage Field Day 17. There's always this thing at these Storage Field Days where after someone presented, you can almost right away tell if something is going to take off or something is going to fall down. After the computational storage NGD systems presentation, the vibe was really like, okay, this is something that's going to be really, really huge. From your perspective and from the things you're seeing and the companies you're talking and doing business with, how big is this going to be? You're in the industry for 20 years, right? You can tell a little bit what's going to happen. Any thoughts on how big this is going to be from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take off. It will be a technology that customers absolutely need and have a use case for. To your point, I love the platform that Storage Field Day offered, because it was allowing us to do a more detailed discussion with industry experts like yourselves who have a different perspective on the market. Because of course, a guy like me, I get jaded sometimes because I'm sitting here knowing exactly what I'm talking about and where I think it's going to go. So I appreciate the feedback. But from a market size perspective, if you think about the amount of data becoming stagnant or stale in servers versus the amount of data that you need analyzed within that, it's roughly about 30% today of the amount of data that we bring in that we actually care about. And the other 70% gets in our way. And so if there's any type of a workload that you can get that not necessary data out of the way by moving compute elements to storage devices or storage products, then you're going to bring value to a very large segment of the market. Is there a dollar number I can attach to it? Not necessarily. And can I say that every customer has a use for it? I would say no, because all of these solutions do require people to change their architecture in some way to implement them today, because our systems are still based on, if I store it, I have to pull it. And these products don't do that anymore. So it'll be a slow growth. I see it growing in 19 is going to be a very solid year for everybody because we've all released newer products. The buzz is getting out there. 20 is going to be a nice big launch, and 21 is going to be stellar. The first customers that are really going to take this are going to be those hyperscale type customers or other customers who own their architecture and can make quick change. And that's not as huge a segment of the market today. So it will be a somewhat slow pickup, but I don't see it stopping or falling down in any way, shape, or form.
No, I think I was kind of somehow being on the same kind of timeline as Scott when I was thinking about the potential use cases and adoption and et cetera, et cetera. So it seems like there is a huge potential for takeoff, and it's really I'm going to be frank, it's probably the first time that I'm here and aware that something huge is going to happen. I know that some folks were there maybe when stuff like hyperconvergence was starting to happen, but this is so much more transformational than just moving from converged to hyperconverged infrastructures, because this is affecting storage, which is at the basis of pretty much everything. So it can be crazy.
Exactly. And I think that's why getting ahead of it in the market today by driving to a common baseline and having product identifiers that tell you if I plug a drive in, it does this versus it does A versus B versus I can compute in storage versus being a storage element will help that adoption be more efficient and quicker. Because the easier, I use the same term in the storage field day and in most of my presentations, the keep it simple, stupid, the KISS principle. The easier we make it for people to say yes to it, of course, the faster you're going to be able to adopt it. And when you have mainline product technology that just has a minor tweak, it's, to your point, much easier to adopt and faster to grow. Mm-hmm.
So one thing is that we had covered either in Storage Field Day and also in the paper, we had been talking about some use cases. Would you mind maybe refreshing here the podcast audience about the use cases that you see as being the most important from NGD Systems perspective, for example?
Yeah, so for us, we've always been targeting basically analytic storage workloads. So if you think about that in the buzzwords of today, the AI type of workloads suit very well for this type of technology because you're storing massive amounts of data and then needing to do some kind of work on it. So we have AI, and the tool that we highlighted in the event there was called Facebook AI Similarity Search, or FACE, which is an image recognition tool. We've done neural network where we can do inference and training real time on the drives. Then you get into the edge IoT space where you have even larger opportunity, because those, just think about one car and the amount of data each car brings in on the hundreds of different sensors between LiDAR, video, still, you know, all that kind of information's got to be analyzed in some way, shape, or form. And so we actually suit very well for that because you tend to have platforms that are much less powerful than a data center server, but at the same time have more data that needs more real-time analytics done on it. So the more you can bolster that support, the better. And so for us, it becomes workloads that are analytic-based. Databases work. You can get acceleration from databases, but the database has to be a big enough database that you can take advantage of the storage search. The easiest way to think of it is, if I'm going to outnumber my gigabytes of RAM with petabytes of data or terabytes of data, then you're going to be able to get some kind of an advantage by not having to do the constant swapping into memory to make these products
more
efficient. So
one thing is about what you were saying about cars and mobile transportation, etc. I think that it's pretty interesting, and what I see which fits well is, so your form factor, which is very compact, allows to embed that in the car without pretty much any troubles. And one of the aspects which was important when I was considering that is also the fact that you need to have some power efficiency. You need to have compute power, but you also need to be power efficient to be able to, let's say, offer the best value for an onboard device and for getting so much telemetry data. One of the other things which I was thinking about, and this is linked to what we were discussing before, which is about the growth of this market over the next few years, is that until now, yes, we do have electric cars on the market. We do have smart cars which do all kind of computations, which are semi-autonomous, which have LiDAR, as you said, and so many sensors, but it's just the beginning of it. And over the next, let's say, 3 to 5, or let's say even 7 years, these things are going to be adopted by a mainstream car manufacturer. So far, it's just a handful of cars, which are maybe on a premium segment or just, you know, limited use cases, maybe for city use. And I see that as this huge market, potential market, is going to go up, then probably it's going to drag computational storage along the way. I don't know if you think that's it's a possibility.
No, I definitely think that that's a very solid point. And the fact that we're also getting into those market segments as they're starting to take off makes it that much easier for the architecture to be adopted that much more easily, because they're not having to rewrite what they've already written. They can take advantage of it today as they start to scale and roll those types of technologies out.
I don't want to be a party pooper, but it's already been more time than we usually do the podcast. So, Scott, I really want to thank you. It's been a great conversation. I want to ask you to do one more thing, and that is just give us the website we can visit, the Twitter account, that kind of stuff, so we will put it on the blog post. We'll put when we put the podcast up as well, but it might be easy for people to at least know where they can find you guys on the internet.
Absolutely. So we're at ngdsystems.com. So Nancy Golf, whatever, Delta, systems.com. And then at NGD Systems on Twitter. And you can find me if you want to bug me at SM, as in Mary Shadley. So SM Shadley on Twitter as well. And if you listen this far and you want to learn more about the standardization work, it's snea.org/computational.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll look into that as well. Max, any last words from you?
Just one last word. I wanted to, of course, thank Scott for his time here on the podcast with us. And I wanted to just give the link to our own paper on the computational storage. So it's an early research from Tech Unplugged. It's bit.ly/tu paper. And I'll put the link as well on the podcast commentaries. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.